Movies and musicals on RTE Lyric FM, sponsored by IFI at Home, the new streaming service from the Irish Film Institute. Come home to film. Come home to ifihome.ie.
Prisoner 1701, your request for temporary release has been granted. Oh, lads, be good.
What are you doing here, Steve?
All I'm after is a chance to put things right. That's all.
You're too late, Steve.
Make a walk.
Think I can?
Of course you can. Oh, I'd love to try you and all that.
I wish I was as sure about anything as you are about everything.
All about attitude, isn't it?
Hi there, and welcome to this special Movie News podcast, where I'm joined by the stars and director of a new Irish movie, Be Good or Be Gone. Director, producer Cathal Nally, producer, co-writer and lead actor Les Martin, and producer and co-star Declan Mills. Firstly, congratulations on the movie. Cathal, can I start with you and ask you to do a quick summary of the movie and the roles played by Les and Declan?
So, Les and Declan play the characters Steve and Weed, which are two cousins in prison, which are basically get out of prison on temporary release for 4 days. Steve wants to reconnect with his partner and his kid and kind of put his criminal life behind him, while Weed has this plan of becoming a fashion designer, but also kind of getting up to mischief at the same time. So it's a simple kind of redemptive story, and we follow these two gentlemen over the course of 4 days in Dublin.
And what drew you to the story in the first place?
I thought the characters were very well fleshed out on the script. They were very real people. It was great dialogue. It was very well written by Les and Paul Murphy. Paul Murphy has a fantastic way of writing dialogue, and it just felt really real. Like, all the characters in the script just jumped out of the page. It was a great authenticity about it, and it was kind of deep-rooted in kind of urban Dublin. So I was kind of very drawn to that, something I hadn't seen before. And it was quite upbeat as well. It's not just a drama, it's a dramatic comedy. So there was very funny scenes in there as well. I was laughing, really laughing, like when I was reading the script, and I thought, this is something I got to do.
And Les, if I can turn to you, talk a bit about the screenplay. I mean, I'm reminded of the now infamous tale of two actors from Boston who couldn't get cast in the parts that they wanted, so they wrote a movie for themselves. That was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck for Good Will Hunting. Did this story originate in a similar manner, or was it a story you wanted to write and have told with or without you in the cast?
I'd say it was kind of similar to Good Will Hunting in the regards that it was kind of born out of a frustration at not getting film roles as an actor. I mean, I'd been knocking around the scene for a few years as a stage actor, and you're not really, if you get called in for a couple of auditions, it's usually for a one-line parts like Soldier on the Left, and you don't even get those parts. So I thought I better do something to stay in the game before, you know, you have to do something else. So I decided, it was a story that I actually was knocking around from back in 1993. I wanted to write something about two guys, whether you were cousins or friends, I didn't know, but two guys that get themselves into a bit of trouble and they have to abscond. And the ending was, all I had in my head was they go to London. And that was it. I parked that short script for a number of years. It wasn't until I met Paul Murphy in 2009 that we rekindled the idea of doing a feature. I had a loose first draft mapped out, gave it to Paul, and then we decided to, we both liked the idea of the story. So that's how it came about. But yeah, so really, and again, so how do you make a film without money? That was the trick, an independent feature. So, I guess there was a number of guys that I would have looked at that would have been an inspiration to myself. Guys like even Terry McMahon, Charlie Casanova, you know, making a movie for under a grand. Gerard Barrett, Pilgrim Hill, I think he made that for $5,000, you know, and also say Ben Wheatley in England, who made Down Terrace, those guys that made films for, you know, $5,000. So that kind of inspired me that, look, it can be done with a lot of hard work and a lot of trips to the credit union manager to try and get a few quid to fund the shagging thing. So I guess to answer your question, it would have been born out of a frustration, just wanting to create work for yourself as an actor. in the hope that it may come off. And so, yeah, that's really it.
Declan, if I could turn to you, your character is a wonderful dichotomy, actually, of someone, you know, who's got demons, but also aspirations as well for a different life. There was a lot there to get your teeth stuck into. How did you approach it?
On one level, he's you know, a bit of a down and out, and he's kind of stuck to the hip of Steve. So you're very much reliant. He is very much reliant on Steve in a way, like almost that Steve's a parental figure, you know. So regardless of how much research you do, or God knows what, if there's not chemistry between that person and you, well, then it's very difficult. So that end of it, after I met Les, was, and we did a little bit of playing around, was taken care of. So I knew I could function from relatively a comfortable place, that we could improvise as also. Where the character is concerned, and a bit more detail, I mean, I live about 20 minutes from Conley Station, and within Conley Station there are 5 methadone clinics. So people with that, you know, drug habit are around that area. So it's not too difficult to follow them around every couple of minutes until they start looking at you, and then you have to kind of take a turn. The other level of it, where the fashion thing is concerned, was very comfortable to me. You know, it's odd. It's a matter of just giving research, or that is for an actor anyway, from my position, is about building confidence. So you can go on to the set, and if anything goes wrong, or anything, or you want to change anything, or does it, your confidence is very strong. Yeah. So it's building up confidence. So where the fashion thing was concerned, that wasn't in no way unusual or strange to me. I grew up around that arena, you might say. My father was a tailor, and I always knew that, strangely enough, that where fashion is concerned, the lads probably don't know any of this, but where fashion is concerned, a lot I grew up anyway, the look of it is one thing, but the feel of it is much more important. So my father was a tailor. He specialized in women's clothing, so being Arnott's on a mannequin, feeling, you know, the dresses and holding my hand, you know, and I'm looking, can we go now? And so you're in Cleary's, and there's, you know, there's no security then, but, you know, the women are coming over to this man who's spending this a long time touching all this material. So it was very, that was, again, a very comfortable area for me to be in. I didn't have to in any way, you know, go and spend time. I spent a little bit of time afterwards with Claire Garvey on a totally different aspect of the production, and I had seen the film at the time, but it cemented in my head that a lot of them work the same. You know, it's very hard to see through the eyes of a designer, but when you see them in action, touch and feel is really, really important. So I felt very confident that I could bluff my way through the whole fashion element of it. And I also then just got a book and cut out a lot of photographs, and I, you know, what's the Pritt stick, put them in the book, and that was my little Bible and things like that. So I had something to anchor me physically, and I had something conceptually to anchor me through the history of what I had. And then that, when that's placed on the comfort bed of the relationship you feel with the guy you're spending most of the on-screen time with, well, then it makes life very easy.
And Cathal, if I could turn back to the question around the budget and the manner in which you made the movie, you know, wholly independent, which is very hard. Not that making a movie is easy, even when you have a budget, but did it make it even harder? You know, what were the aspects that were difficult to achieve when you've got budgetary constraints?
It doesn't really leave you any room for error, if you know what I mean. So you just kind of have to kind of get on with it and just not make any mistakes, if you know what I mean. There's no margin for error there. It was very small kind of budget, and we had to go back and get another loan later, and we had to do fundraising campaign later on and everything. So for us, it was more so stages of production. What we could do first, and then what we would do later, and all that kind of thing. I think the first initial part of the production was in 2016. We had a very tight budget for 3 weeks, and we did actually end up having to reshoot a couple of scenes as we were going. So once that started, we knew we were behind, and some days we would be ahead. We'd actually put in an extra scene and we'd get things extra done to try and catch up, but we weren't going to kind of make it. So we knew that we'd have to come back later and do more production. So I think we came back in 2017, did another week of shooting then. And we just had to basically just save money for a year and do that. And then the following year, then we went down the Fund It Route campaign to raise funds for the post-production. So it was done in stages, really. It was something that wasn't going to be made within a year or 2 years. This took, I think, from when I came on, I took on the script, it took 4 years from when I first arrived doing the script, you know, with Les and everything, until the actual full post-production was finished. So that wasn't too bad, considering that that we had very little to work with, you know, budget-wise, you know.
And Les, from a producer's perspective, I mean, the creative industries are challenging at the best of times. How do you keep going back to that creative well to push yourself forward, to keep trying to have that momentum, to always move forward, to try and get to the finish line with a film like this?
Yeah, it was tough. Like, you know, as Cattle said, we've done it in stages over the last 4 or 5 years. So once we got over one hurdle, we just keep going and until we got to the next one, and just, you know, any obstacle or challenge that we face, we just met it head on. But I guess it was just an innate determination to get to the finishing line no matter what. Because I'd invested 10 years of my life trying to get it from script to screen. And like, we weren't going to do it, like, just leave it halfway without getting to that finishing line. So I think with everybody that was on board, whether it was the cast or the crew, it was important that we had everyone, you know, batting in the same, you know, going in the same direction and had the same belief and passion as we did, the three of us. So that was great. And yeah, I guess it was just the determination to keep going until we got there. So thankfully we did, you know, and then before we knew it, like, once we got over, you know, pre-production, then shot the movie, and then we were at the next challenge, which was trying to find, you know, the funding for post-production, which, you know, was quite expensive. And again, we'd no money, ran out of money. Fortunately, it's the hardest funding of all to you know, achieve or try and source from the film board, because they haven't been on board at the very beginning. And it's, why should they come on board really when they've had no creative hand in the process? So I get that. We understand that it's the hardest funding of all. But then we just met the next challenge, which was, you know, the funder campaign. And that was a chore. That was really hard work trying to organize that and go kind of cap on hand to your friends and your family, trying to get a few quid out of them and stuff. And yeah, and then raise the money through that. And then once we had the movie finished in post-production, the next challenge was where do we take it now? And then it was the festival circuit. And then we spent about, you know, 14, 16 months doing the festivals. And obviously COVID was a big challenge, you know, how can you get your head around that? So myself and Cattle had our flights booked, hotels booked. They were over to Garden State last year, literally as the whole pandemic struck the world, you know. And we had been, and actually Garden State were one of the first cities in America to shut down and also go online. So I guess, yeah, so it was just challenge after challenge, but it's been an amazing journey.
And Declan, I get a sense from the credits, because you're all producers on the film, does that really give an example of how you were all in this together? Everyone was really just going to push on through to get the movie made.
somebody's asked me about this before, and I think when the script is there, it's very hard to go to bed like thinking, oh, I'm going to give up on this, because you won't sleep, you know, and that script is there, that it could be made. And then if it's served well, you feel it's relatively served well by the shoot itself, then it's even harder again. So, you know, you don't want to betray that. You just got to, you know, take your hits and move on. And it's funny because it's really about relationships, it's largely about budget, but essentially about relationships, you know, and especially for the first time, and just getting those together. And because, I mean, when you talk about the script being authentic and all that kind of stuff, we certainly had experience of that level of it. But that authenticity has got to be, you know, sustained through your editor and having that authentic relationship, not only with the people on screen, but them behind the camera as well. And then there's the business element of who do you trust, you know, outside of that. So authenticity in that, we've been quite lucky that we've actually managed to attract enough people of, I suppose, a quality that can keep us going and for us to kind of move on to the next department when one is finished up with.
And Cathal, the film's won a couple of awards already internationally, but following its screening at the Dublin International Film Festival, where and when can audiences watch the movie?
So, yeah, it's available from tomorrow at the festival. And then after that, it goes worldwide on the 13th of April on Amazon and iTunes. That's where it starts off first anyway. And then after that, we don't know. It depends. It's up to our distributor then where it goes next after that. But we're just happy. And I know, you know, it's an independent film and everything, and we were stuck for budget and everything. But we had a few things. We had plenty of time to get it done right, and we had plenty of talented people on board. The casts were fantastic. And of course, you know, I mean, the experience behind our post-production as well with John Talbot and Paul Rowland and Panic Post, and Joe Conlon as a composer. I mean, the guy's been, Emmy Award nominated, and he's been in the business for 40 years. And I built up a great relationship with him over the last 10 years. He did all my shorts. So for him to come on and just do the music for us, you know, like just purely because I have a relationship with him was fantastic to get that kind of level of experience. You know, I mean, it would have been nice to have a big budget for everything, but when you have very talented people, very experienced people that believe in the project and decide, you know what, I know you don't have much money here, but I like this movie. I want to do it with you. You know, that says a lot. So you know, that's priceless nearly, you know.
Well, congratulations on the film. Well done to you all. It's not easy to get them made, and you've done a great job. So congratulations on that, and thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks very much.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
What do you do? You die. Everybody move a little
closer to me. One more year in here, and I'm gone.
So find someone a sham to do your dirt.
I don't want to see that daughter of yours grow up. He'll be there.
I'll make things right. For the three of us, I will. I swear, I promise, I'll make things right.